We are in Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, and this is our third lesson in this series, Building a Life of Service. And again, as I've reminded you the past 2 weeks, as Christians, our desire ought to be to serve God. That's what God expects of us. Jesus, in the New Testament, during his earthly ministry, he preached sermons. He taught lessons. He shared parables. And again, not all of them, but there were a lot of them that were, the subject was our work for God, our service for God. And so that's what he expects from us. He has a task. He has a job for all of us to do. In fact, you were made to do that task. I mean, God didn't wait till you were born and say, well, I got to figure out something for Martha to do. I got to figure out something for Teresa to do. No, he had that in mind before you were even born, and has used your life and the experiences of your life to prepare for that task. And so, again, he doesn't just save us so that we can just sit around and wait till we go to heaven. He saves us because he has a work for us to do. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained. And so that has been his plan. Now, again, we serve God in a variety of ways. Each of us has a different talent set. Each of us has a different personality. Each of us has a different way of operating. But God uses all of us. And in Nehemiah, we are looking at the principles that undermined every life of service. Regardless of what your talent is, regardless of what your task is, these are things that ought to be in our life as we serve God. And again, we've talked about prayer, how everything we do for God ought to be bathed in prayer. We've talked about a plan, how we need to, you know, live for God on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident. We need to have a plan. And then today we're talking about persistence, keeping at it, not quitting, not getting discouraged, not slowing down. There will be obstacles. There will be those that want to discourage us and get us to quit. Because as we serve God, not everybody's going to be pleased. The one that's going to be displeased the most is Satan. He's mad that we got saved. He didn't want you to get saved in the first place. Once you get saved, his desire for you is that you just sit down. You just don't do nothing for God. You don't have, you know, just don't do anything for God. And so when you start something for God, Satan is going to rear his ugly head, and he's going to bring things into your life to try to stop us, to try to discourage us, to try to hinder us. But I'll remind you this morning, God is not hindered by those that oppose him. God cannot be slowed down by Satan. He cannot be slowed down by Satan's minions. He cannot be slowed down by those who Satan has on this earth to slow Christians down. And therefore, our faithfulness shouldn't depend on the acclaim of other people. It should not depend on what other people think that we're doing. Our faithfulness to God ought to depend on him. Because again, when God calls us, he not only gives us what we need, but he's with us and will sustain us as we try to work with him. So again, we see that in Nehemiah's story. He started the project of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. The work was progressing. The more it progressed, the greater the opposition became. I mean, it started the moment he announced why he came. They began to mock him. They began to ridicule him. They began to throw taunts at him and the people that were working. And we're going to see today where those, that war of words escalated, and you know, the enemies got together and planned an attack. A physical attack against Jerusalem. But Nehemiah did the same thing that he did when they were hurling words at him. He went to God in prayer. He told the people to remember God, but he also told them, hey, let's fight for what's important. Let's fight for the goal that God has given us, for the task that God has given us. So, 3 points to the lesson this morning. God's work will ignite ridicule and opposition. It did in the day of Nehemiah. It still does it today. Opposition will come. Number two, in spite of opposition, prayerfully do what God has led you to do. Don't let opposition stop you. Keep at it. And then number three, do your work with vigilance in face of opposition. Okay? So we got three passages of scripture, all from Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. We start with the first three verses where the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Rebuilding the wall wasn't a secret project. Everybody could see what they were doing. I mean, there were people that were inside the city that took an interest in the project, and there were people all around the city that knew what was going on as well. Once the walls were rebuilt, the city had the opportunity to be restored to the glory of the former days. You remember Jerusalem under Solomon, I mean, it was a force to be reckoned with. It was a city, I mean, Solomon sort of ruled the world from Jerusalem at one point. His kingdom was widespread. And again, back in those days, walls around a city were a sign of strength, was a sign of stability. It kept the enemies out. It protected the people that were inside. And so Jerusalem had been without walls for almost 80, 90 years now, okay? They were open to anybody that wanted to come in and plunder the city, rob the city, take the people in the city captive because they had no protection of the walls. And so when those that were around Jerusalem, not other Jews, but other peoples, saw that the walls were being rebuilt, they saw that they no longer would have the run of Jerusalem. And so they were upset. One person was this man called Sanballat. He was the governor of Samaria. Okay. Now, there were two others that we're going to read about this morning. One is Tobiah, the Ammonite, and one is Geshem, the Arabian. Okay. Now, again, what these three men and the people they led were motivated by the potential loss of both political and economic advantage they had over Jerusalem because the walls weren't there, okay? I mean, bottom line, it got down to money. I mean, they had the free run now. In fact, some of these guys were charging people in Jerusalem protection money, like they were a mob. Said, hey, if you pay me a certain amount of money, I'll protect you. I'll make sure nobody else gets you. With the walls up, they would no longer have to do that. With the walls up, they couldn't come in and have their way with Jerusalem. And so, again, when Nehemiah first got there, he announced to the people what he was about to do, and they started clearing away the rubbish to get ready to start building the walls. That's when the opposition started. And it started with words. It started with ridicule. It started with taunts. And again, Nehemiah didn't fight back. I mean, he didn't fight back with words. He just prayed, and he got the people committed to the task. Okay, now so the building began. The walls began to take shape. The work progressed, and in chapter 4, verse 1, when Sanballat heard that. When he heard that they were making progress on the walls, the Bible says he was wroth and took great indignation. That word indignation means anger, vexation, or being provoked. And that word wroth means to be hot or to burn. And so when Sanballat found out that the wall, that progress was being made on the walls, he was furious. He began to burn in his anger. I mean, he got mad, and he got very, very mad. And so he upped he upped his taunting. He upped his ridicule. He began to mock the people. Now, mocking others is more satisfying when you can do it in front of other people. I mean, if you're just going to do it to yourself, it really doesn't have the impact that you want it to be to have. If you want to mock somebody, you need to do it in public. No, I'm not suggesting that you do that. I'm just saying, Sanballat knew as a wicked person that, you know, to really make the point. And again, he wanted word to get back to Jerusalem. He was doing all this in Samaria, but he wanted the word to get back to the Jews to get them worried. But he did it in front of other people, and it tells us his audience was his brethren, probably not his blood brothers, but though his associates and colleagues and other leaders from Samaria, and then the army of Samaria, probably not the whole army, but the leaders of the army. The generals and those that led the army. And so he, again, in Samaria, he called these people together. And the fact that he called them together shows how serious this threat was to him. And so he called these people together, and he began to mock the Jews. He says, they're feeble. They're weak. Okay? He questioned if they could fortify themselves. In other words, repair the walls. Now, again, most of the people, we didn't read it, but in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, it gives you the breakdown of the different groups of people, the different families, and what part of the walls they worked on. Again, it was part of Nehemiah's plan to divvy up the labor and have different people work on different parts of the walls. Most of them were not masons. Most of them did not have experience in bricklaying. Okay, and again, they weren't trying to finesse it. I mean, they weren't trying to make if we hired somebody to do our brick because we wanted it to look nice. They weren't so much about finesse and making the walls look good. They just wanted to put it together. But Sanballat said, "Well, none of them know how to do that." I mean, they're not bricklayers, they're weak. And are they going to be able to really fortify the city with their attempt to rebuild their walls? He asked the question, will they sacrifice? Now, he was mocking God at that point. He was saying, those Jews can't sacrifice to God enough to make him help them in this task. Again, we're going to see that one of the motivations the people had was they thought this work was God's work. Sanballat was trying to say, this is not God's work, this is your work. And there's no way that you can offer enough sacrifices to God to get him to help you. Just not going to happen. Will they make an end in a day? What he was saying there as he was taunting these people is, well, they've got a good start, but are they going to keep it up? They're going to get tired. They're going to get wore out. They're not going to be able to get it done. They won't be able to finish. And then he said, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You remember, 80 years before, or close more than that, probably close to 100 years before, the Babylonians had come. And again, as punishment from God, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They burned the gates. The gates had timber, so they burned the gates. They tore down the walls. They tore down the temple. And all this rubbish was laying there where the walls were. Okay, and Sanballat said, look, when the fire burned the timber at the gates, that fire weakened some of the stones. And here's the question they ask. Are you going to be able to find enough good stone in that rubble? That rubble which has suffered a fire, are you going to find enough good, strong stones in that rubble to rebuild the walls? And again, are they going to be strong enough to keep out the enemy? Are they going to be strong enough to do what you want them to do? And again, what Sanballat was trying to do was create doubt in the minds of the Jews. Again, all this took place in Samaria, but he made sure word got back to Jerusalem. Okay? And again, he was trying to get them, he was trying to get them to doubt their efforts. He was trying to get them to doubt Nehemiah. He was trying to get them to doubt God, that they could really pull this off, so to speak. Because, again, none of them really, again, there probably were some masons there, but most of them were not bricklayers. They didn't know how to do it. And again, what Sanballat was trying to do, well, if I can get doubt in their mind, maybe I can get them discouraged. Maybe I can get them to stop. Now, when somebody's taunting others, when somebody's ridiculing others, it's easy for other people to join in. Sort of the mob mentality, okay? If somebody's attacking somebody, you know, everybody sort of just joins in to the attack. And so Tobiah, the Ammonite, spoke up. Here's what they said. Even if the Jews build the wall, even if they complete the wall, if a fox jumps on it, it'll be torn down. Took the Babylonian army, the last time to do it. But he said, what he was saying is, hey, these guys don't know what they're doing. The quality of this wall that they're building is not very good. They can get it built, and then a little fox can bump against it or jump up on top of it, and it will fall down. Now, again, taunts and ridicule don't have to be true. I mean, there's no truth check before people hurl their taunts and their ridicule at others. Archaeologists have found that the walls that Nehemiah built were 9 feet thick. Okay? So they were substantial. And I don't know nothing about bricklaying, but I dare say that if I was building a wall that was 9 foot thick, I could build something that a fox could jump on, and it would stand. I mean, maybe the outside would fall. You know, the outside layers will fall down. But I think even I could put the middle together to make it stand in front of a fox. And again, so here's Tobiah. He's joining in with Sanballat. They're trying to put doubt in the people's mind. They're trying to get the people discouraged. They're trying to stifle their spirit. They're trying to stop the work. Now, Satan still does that today. Let a person, let a church start to do something for God, and there will be opponents. There will be detractors. There will be things that happen to try to get people discouraged. That's why most of the time when we have difficulties or problems in the church, I don't tell you. Sometimes I don't tell Patty. Sometimes I don't tell Adam. Sometimes I just, I pray about it and I try to deal with it and ask God to help me. But I don't want to get you discouraged, because that's what Satan wants. I mean, he's not pleased with what's going on around here, and he would like to get us off course. He would like to, we enjoy a great sense of unity. We enjoy a great sense of love for one another. Satan would like nothing more than to destroy that. And again, he'll have little, I had a guy I used to work with, he called them ankle biter problems, like little chickens that go, little banty chickens that go around and peck on your ankles. He would say, most problems in churches are ankle peckers. Not really big problems, but little problems that if they're not dealt with can turn into big problems. And they just keep coming and peck you and peck you and peck you and peck you. So we need to be on guard. What God has given us here is good, and we need to protect it. So here were opponents of God's work trying to discourage the people, get them to stop, doubting their ability, doubting their that they could get the job done. But Nehemiah, here's what he did over and over again. I mean, the pattern is consistent. He went to God in prayer. He asked for God's help. Now, it's not part of our lesson this morning, but when these guys started these taunts, he went to God and said, hey, you need to take care of this, okay? You've called us to this work. Since you've called us, this is your work. These people that are taunting us, you know, they're not messing with our work. They're messing with your work. And God, you need to take care of it. Now, same thing's true today. When people, you know, when the ankle biters come, that's my prayer to God. Say, hey, this is not my work, this is your work. I mean, you called us here. You need to take care of it. And it's amazing. It's amazing how many times I hear about a problem, I pray about it, and before I can do anything about it, God's already taken care of it. He's already fixed it. I praise him for that. We got a good, good God. So Nehemiah prayed. All right, now we're going to skip down to verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites, and Sanballat was an, Tobiah was an Ammonite, and Gershon, he's not mentioned here, but he was an Arabian. But notice somebody else has added, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So again, Nehemiah turned the matter over to God. He kept his attention and tried to keep the people's attention on the job. And so he says, so we built the wall. In spite of the opposition, in spite of these things that others are saying about us, we built the wall. We focused on the wall. And as a result, the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. They got it half as high as they intended to build it. Okay? And they did it in a very short time. You remember, the whole project was finished in 52 days. And so, again, they had to clear the rubbish. They had a lot of work to do before they could start building. But they got a lot of work done in a very short period of time. And here's why. For the people had a mind to work. Now, that word mind doesn't mean just their heads, their minds. It means the disposition of inner purpose. So it was their determination. The people had a determination to work. The people had a resolve. They had a resolve to work. And that resolve and that determination came from within. You see, they believed in what they were doing. They saw a purpose for it. They saw that it was God that was behind it. Again, Nehemiah had told them about his favor with the king and about how the king had given him safe passage to get to Jerusalem and had given him lumber from the king's forest for the lumber that he needed. And so they saw that it was God's work. And they were they believed, again, that he had called them to that work. And so since it was his work and he had called them, they resolved, they determined, we're going to stick with it. We're not going to quit. If we truly believe that God has called us to something, we're not going to quit. We're not. We're going to keep at it. We're going to keep working at it, regardless of the opposition. If we truly believe that God has called us to something, like these people believe, they stayed at it. And you can see that throughout the whole story. I mean, that's the underlying theme. It's not our work. This is God's work. He's called us to this work. Satan's going to try to stop it because that's what he tries to do. He's in opposition. Satan is in opposition to everything that God wants done. Believe it. If God wants you to do something, Satan doesn't want you to do it. And he's going to throw every obstacle in your way to try to stop you. But the people had a determination. And it wasn't a determination that they worked up themselves. It was a determination that came to them from God. Said, this is what God wants me to do. And with God's help, I'm going to do it. So they built the wall. It was halfway high. and the breaches were beginning to be joined together. And so as the work progressed, so did the opposition. Sanballat, Tobiah the Amorite, the Arabians in Geshem, we've heard about them before. Now here's the Ashdodites. They have joined in. Ashdod was one of the five principal cities of the Philistines. Okay? They were enemies of Israel. The Philistines were all the way back to the days of Joshua. And so here were a people, when they saw what was going on and they saw all these other people going against Jerusalem, they said, well, these guys have always been our enemy. We want to get in on it too. Okay? So those that were opposed heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up. In other words, the repairs were going ahead. They were going forward. The breaches or the gaps were beginning to be stopped or closed. Again, they were very wroth. They were very, very angry. And they conspired together. In other words, they plotted together. These four kings or these four governors, whatever you want to call them, got together and said, hey, we need to stop this. This is going to hurt all of us. And we need to put a stop to this work. And here was their plot. We're gonna join our armies and we're gonna go fight. I mean, if our words can't stop them, then we will go into battle against them. And again, what they were trying to do was stop the work. They wanted to hinder it. They wanted to stir up trouble. They wanted to cause confusion in the city. The people were gonna have to decide. The people of Jerusalem were gonna have to decide: do we defend ourselves, or do we keep on working? Do we stop the work and arm ourselves and fight this battle, or do we keep on working? Okay, now, and again, that's what they were trying to do. Here's what Nehemiah said. He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. And again, the verses that we're skipping that are in chapter 4, Nehemiah again reminded God, this is your work. We need your protection and we need your direction. And so they put their trust in God. They depended on him. Now, and they put their faith in God. But they also put feet to their faith because they said they set a watch against them day and night. In other words, they put a guard. They heard about the attack. They heard what these guys were plotting. So they said, we're gonna pray and we're going to ask God to protect us. We're going to ask God to tell us what we're going to do, but we're going to set guards. We're going to watch and be ready when they come. Now, this same way Satan works today. Okay? He will attack, and what he tries to do is to get Christians and churches get their eyes off their main mission and start fighting battles. They start fighting battles. Now, those battles need to be fought. Okay? The battles for the morals that exist in this world and what our laws say are right and what our laws say are wrong. Those are battles that need to be fought. But they don't need to be fought by taking our eye off the main mission that God has given us. The main mission that God has given us is going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then help those that get saved to grow, to mature, so they can go out and do the same thing. See other people saved and help them to grow. And in the long run, we will accomplish more to help this world by staying true to our mission, in other words, getting people saved and helping them grow, than we will by going out and fighting all these other battles. Now, again, don't get me wrong. Those other battles need to be fought, and Christians need to wage the fight. But not to the point where we take our eye off and stop doing what God has called us to do. That's got to be in the forefront. That's got to be at the top of the pile. That's what we need to do first. Okay? And never be distracted to the point that we're out fighting all these battles and not telling people about Christ and not helping Christians grow. And so Nehemiah says, God, you got to help us. We need your protection. We need your direction. All right, let's go on to verses 14 through 18. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God hath brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Now again, in the verses that we skipped, we read that some of the workers were starting to get discouraged. The work was hard. It was hard work. And they had heard about this attack that was imminent. And so Nehemiah knew that he had to do something. So the Bible says that he looked. He went out and looked things over. He got a fresh assessment of where they were in the project. And then he called the rulers and the nobles and the rest of the people together. So he had a meeting, called everybody together. And he stood up and he said, here's the first thing he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He said, that's the worst thing that can happen to us if we become afraid of these people that want to slow us down. Now, here's why you don't need to be afraid. Remember the Lord. Remember your God. He is great and terrible. That word terrible means awesome. So he said, don't be afraid. We have a great and awesome God. That's what he said. Don't be afraid. Remember the God that you have. Remember the God that we have. He is a great and awesome God. And so he says, so fight. Fight for your brethren, your countrymen. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. See, Nehemiah didn't join in their despair. He didn't get up and say, well, woe is us. He didn't do that. Nor did he come in there and give them a self-esteem kind of message. Hey, you can do this. We can do this. He didn't deliver that kind of message. He says, let's remember the kind of God that we have. Let's remember he's a great and awesome God. And let's remember why that this is his work. He's called us to it. And let's fight for those that are important to us. Let's fight for our families. Let's fight for our countrymen. This is God's work. It's a good cause. Don't be afraid. Remember the kind of God that we have. Now, it came to pass. It came to pass that God brought their enemies' counsel, their plots, their plans, to naught. In other words, he broke them up. He frustrated the enemies. Now, again, Nehemiah and the people didn't do that. God did. He frustrated their plans. He brought their plans to naught. In other words, they never did attack. I don't know if there was dissension in their ranks. I don't know if they argued over who was going to lead the army. You know, those kind of things happen. But God was behind it. And again, notice the irony of it. These armies wanted to attack to frustrate the Jews. Well, God frustrated them. they could not pull off what they wanted to pull off. He brought their plans to nothing. And so Nehemiah said, we went back to work. We went back to the wall, everyone to his work. Again, they had divided it up in sections. Everybody went back to the section that they were building. We went back to work. But Nehemiah says, We're just, again, to encourage the people and to let the people know that, hey, we're going to be ready if they do come. Nehemiah took some additional steps. He had some servants. Most people think it was a group of young men that was sort of his personal bodyguard. Okay, he said, half of them I put to work on a wall. The other half always held spears and shields and bows and Habergans, that was body armor. They were always ready to fight. Half this force that I had, they were always ready to fight. Okay? Now, the other half worked. Now, he also said the rulers and the other leaders or officers were behind. This was another line of defense. And it was both physical and figurative. The rulers supported the people, okay? But they also armed themselves ready to fight if the enemy attacked. And then all the house of Judah, all the people, not just those that were living in Jerusalem, the success of this project not only would affect those that lived in Jerusalem, but it would affect all of Judea. And so if the enemy did come, Nehemiah says, well, we're going to have reinforcements. We're going to get people, other Jews that maybe are not in Jerusalem. Now, and there were some people involved in the building project that didn't actually live in Jerusalem, but Nehemiah says, if it comes down to where we got to fight, we're going to call everybody in Judea. Because everybody has a stake in this. I mean, it wasn't just the people in Jerusalem that were going to be helped by the building of the wall. It was going to be all the Jews, everybody that lived in Judah. And then here's what Nehemiah did. He said, those that bear burdens, in other words, those that were still involved in cleaning away the rubbish, and those that laid it, in other words, those that carried supplies to the wall, he said, they're always going to have a weapon in one hand, and they're going to work with the other. Okay? They're always going to be armed. So again, they're going to be working, and again, their productivity may go down a little bit because they're only working with one hand, but they're always going to be armed. And then he said, the builders, and again, if you're lifting stones, you need both hands, but he says the builders, the ones that are actually building the wall, they're going to have their sword at their side. So they're going to keep working, but their sword is going to be right there close to them so that if the attack comes, now the attack never came, but if the attack comes, we're going to be ready. God expects us to do the same thing today. He expects us to have faith in him, but he also expects us to be prudent. He also expects us to do what we can do to protect our work. Okay? And then Nehemiah says this, he that soundeth the trumpet was by me. Okay? Trumpet was probably a ram's horn. It was used to signal different people. And he said, I kept the trumpet player by me because, and again, Nehemiah wasn't holed up in some headquarters. He was out walking the walls. He was out with the people. And if he saw an attack coming, he would tell the trumpet player, hey, blow the alarm because here they come. They're coming right here. We want everybody to come to this spot to fight. And so he put feet to his faith. He said, if they come, we are going to be ready. Now, Satan today still attacks the work of God. We need to use the same strategy in our life of service to God that Nehemiah did. We need to pray. 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 Everything we do for God needs to be bathed in prayer. We need to depend on him. We need to be ready to fight. We need to remember the kind of God that we have. And never quit. Persist. Keep on keeping on. In my little illustration this morning, if Arnie would have kept trying, eventually he would have got past me because he would have wore me out. He's a lot younger than I am. He would have eventually got past me. Now, he got past me a whole lot better, quicker, when he asked for help. And that same way, God will help us if we ask him. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Keep at it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this reminder from the book of Nehemiah. I pray that you'll help us make it one of the principles in our life, that we'll be a people of prayer, that will serve you on purpose with a plan, and we'll be persistent in our service for you regardless of what Satan throws in our way. You're a great and awesome God. Help us to remember the kind of God that you are and to serve you. I pray now you go with us to the service that follows as we lift up Jesus. We claim the promise that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. Help us to do that this morning And you keep your part of the promise, dear Lord. We depend on you to do that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.